Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, dear saints of God. Good afternoon on this precious, precious August day, August the 11th, 2021. We are in studio today to bring to you the much anticipated, the much waited for Jesus and Hollywood broadcast. Of course, Sister AJ's been at this for a while. It's a great series, and she's already in studio, and we are really ready to get started. But before I do, you know what we do here. I need to make a few announcements. And the first and most important announcement is that if you are in need of prayer, if you find yourself in trouble today, if you find yourself downcast today, depressed today, and wondering where's God and how you're going to get out of the mess you're going to get out of, let me encourage you to send us your prayer request. Let me encourage you to send us those things that are keeping you up at night, that are causing you to lose your sleep and drown in your tears. You're drinking your tears. You're drowning in your tears, and there's no need for you to do this by yourself. We should be there with you, and we can be. We can pray for you. We can intercede for you. If you're in need of prayer, send us your prayer request at powerofprayer2018@gmail.com. powerofprayer2018@gmail.com. In addition, don't forget to pray for Sister Elena. She happens to be the daughter of Sister Linda from North Carolina. Now, Sister Linda from North Carolina is no longer in North Carolina. She went home to be with Jesus. She is now part of the church triumphant, while the rest of us down here are part of the church militant. Sister Linda graduated. She went home to be with the Lord. But her daughter Elena is still here. And I promised Sister Linda that I would pray for her children and watch over her children. And we're trying to do that, saints. Now, Sister Elena had surgery about 4 weeks ago. And it was going to be a 6 to 8 week healing process. And we know, and because we speak to her on a weekly basis, or my wife will text her to see how she's doing. Sometimes, you know, the phone call, the phone is an answer, so then we reply with a text to see if we can get some info. And she's doing well. She's mending well. But, you know, when you mend well, then you try to do things ahead of time. And we're just praying that Sister Elena will stay put until the 8 weeks are up. So pray for Sister Elena. Also, we got a praise report from our dear Sister Kimberly's family. You know, Sister Kimberly from Boston, she also went home to be with the Lord. And her mother was on dialysis. Sister Kimberly was taking care of her mom. They lived together. Her mom was on dialysis. Well, I got a praise report. Mama's no longer on dialysis. Mama is driving now. She's driving her car, and she's doing a few things that she couldn't do before. And glory be to God, and praise be to his name, because Mama is doing better. And so continue to pray for Sister Kimberly's mother. Also, my brothers and sisters, we have a Bible school that is for you. A Bible school, there's no registration fee, there's no tuition fee, there's no textbooks fee. We don't sell you any textbooks. It's a free 2-hour class a week on ministry. If you are desirous in joining this Bible school that will prepare you to serve the Lord and serve his people, you can email us at iibms2020, iibms2020@gmail.com. Once we receive your email, you will automatically be registered, and a young man by the name of Miguel Rivera will contact you via email. He is the registrar of the school, and he will begin to forward to you all the information that you need to have in order to start taking your weekly class, your weekly 2-hour lecture. So email us today. And also, we were in studio yesterday, Sister Marie and I, a great show on the Great Global Reset. And I don't know about you, but when I turn on the news, when I'm driving in my car, when I'm out and about getting some errands done, I have one channel. We have here in upstate New York, we have a tower, a radio tower in Albany, New York. It's called 810. It's an AM station, and it's 810, and it's basically the only thing I can get. And they have news commentators, you know, people talking about money, people talking about politics. And all I hear from all of these guys on this station, and they don't all happen to be conservatives, some of them are liberal, they're all talking about the Great Global Reset. And so Sister Marie has brought this to our attention. It's a great series. Yesterday we were finishing up one audio and listening to another audio by a gentleman whose last name is O'Fallon. This O'Fallon guy is just phenomenal. And, boy, they're laying it out. These shows are laying it out. Yesterday we were listening to an audio called The Global Brain. The Global Brain. And they're not talking about me, folks. They're talking about a centralized computer that is massive in size and massive in power, and how this global brain is saving up every bit of information of every person on the planet. And by means of that global brain, they'll be able to detect and know your next move, what moves you will make, what moves you won't make, what are your purchasing tendencies. It's a scary thing. The Great Global Reset. Got to listen to the show yesterday and take advantage of what we are presenting to you. Well, without any further ado, let me bring on my dear sister, Sister AJ. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, brother?
I'm doing good. You know, yesterday when we were doing Sister Marie's show, we had real dark skies. And they were talking about thunderstorms. Now, it was dark and, you know, it looked ominous, but not a drop of rain. Not a drop. And I found that unusual.
Goodness.
Yeah, and today is the same thing. Dark, gray, ominous, but not, and I hope we don't get a drop. I really do. I hope we don't have any situation here, because I'm so looking forward to this show, Before we get into the show, I saw that Kanye West was producing some kind of music for Lil Nas.
That's right.
Yeah, could you share? What's going on there? Because I saw that and I said, "Wow, here's this Jesus freak." Because that's what Kanye West was. You know.
Yeah, supposedly.
right. Here's this Jesus follower, this Jesus lover, and Jesus is everything. And he's working with someone who is a devout Satanist. Share with
Absolutely.
Us, Sister AJ.
Well, it's gone on a few weeks ago, maybe a month now. Little Nasty Nas, that's what I call him, came out with a new song. I think it's called Industry Baby or something like that. And the song was co-produced by Kanye West. They worked on the song. Kanye is more into the music, the beats and all that stuff as part of his production. So that's what he did for Lil Nas, this song. And a video came out with the song, and I don't know if you've seen clips of that first one he did with the devil and the pole, stripper pole and all that.
This one is worse.
It's if you could imagine worse, in that it's I call it basically gay porn. He depicts himself in prison, and so that's all I'm going to say about it.
Right. Yeah, so
and,
if you're in prison, they're going to use you like a little girl is basically what the storyline is.
Pretty much. That's what he's showing throughout the video is scenes that way, to include naked guys. But in the video, they got, you know, certain parts blurred out, but you can still tell they're nude. The video is just horrible. But now Kanye didn't produce the video part of it, but he did help to produce the song. And what I'm saying is, as you know, I've always been skeptical about Kanye when he was claiming to be a Christian, and we really haven't heard much about it since the coronavirus pretty much put the kibosh on him being able to do that traveling circus church of his.
Right.
And so he's pretty much back to doing what he was doing before. He's got his own album that's supposed to come out soon that he's made. So he's back to doing his regular stuff now. And so my question was, first I would say even a newborn baby Christian should know not to get involved with Lil Nas X. And because when he was making his Christian albums, Kanye, he required anybody working on the album with him that even if they weren't claiming to be Christians, he wanted them to remain celibate, don't do drugs, and all this other stuff while they were working on his Jesus is King albums. But now he's working with Lil Nas X.
Right,
and then
right,
the
right.
last thing I would say is Adam Tyson, where art thou?
Exactly.
You know, you publicly endorse this guy, so what do you have to say for yourself? Because I'm sure he's being asked about it.
Sure, sure. And all those trips that he took to Kanye's compound over there, wherever Kanye is, in Montana, wherever he's at, all those little trips, all of those discipleship trips that he took over there to meet with Kanye, mm-hmm. I mean, basically flushed down the toilet. Because,
right.
you know, if you're working with a Satanist, what did your discipleship class do? Zero. Zero.
Right. Well, would Adam say, rationalize by saying, well, it's not his fault if Kanye decided to turn back? And
well, it is his fault.
That,
it is
okay.
his fault. And I'm gonna tell you why. Because he should have rebuked them from the get-go.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Look, if I am a permissive parent... Right? If I am a permissive parent and then my kid hits 21 and my child becomes promiscuous, whose fault is that? Mine. Why? Because I was permissive. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right?
I mean,
that's
okay,
true.
Okay. So some would argue, well, Kanye's an adult. Kanye can do whatever he wants to. Okay, but all we see with Adam Tyson was a love fest and give Kanye a break and give him some time to grow. And, you know, No. You rebuke. That's it. You rebuke. You do another show, and you say, I'm pulling back my endorsement of Kanye. That's what you
right.
do. But if you're crickets.
You should do it publicly.
Right, right, because he's done all those shows publicly. So if he's crickets now, shame on you. Shame on you.
Right.
Because that's what I have to say.
I don't remember if you remember the interview that we listened to with him, he said something to the effect that even if Kanye decides or if it turns out he's not genuine, Adam feels okay. He said he feels okay about it because he knows he tried to disciple him the right way. But I'm like, no, you didn't. Because for one thing, you disobeyed the Bible by giving him special treatment because he's a rich and famous guy. You know,
absolutely.
And he admittedly said he wouldn't do that for anyone else, but he did it for Kanye, and then also he would not be firm in counseling him about sitting down as a baby Christian, that he shouldn't be doing what he's doing, and being willing to pull away from Kanye if Kanye chose to be disobedient and not listen. You know, so he gave Kanye special treatment. And I think he was more saying the end justifies the means, and a lot of preachers believe this, whether their congregants know it or not, that if something good comes out of what I did, then that makes it okay. And what Adam would look at as good is that he got a chance to preach the quote-unquote gospel to lots of people that he wouldn't have had access to because Kanye invited him onto his stage for a time. So do you think that would cancel out any of the rest of this stuff?
Listen, what did Ezekiel say? If I don't rebuke you, or if I don't tell you what's right and what's wrong, I have what on my hands?
God will require the blood of that person.
There you go. So Adam Tyson, who we never heard of until Kanye came along, got his 15 seconds of fame, right? But...
Mm-hmm.
With those 15 seconds of fame comes responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at Governor Cuomo, right? My governor. A report came out that he is guilty of, you know, messing with women and going against their, you know, their personal desires. And so what happened? People, now, listen, Senator Chuck Schumer of New York is a snake. A snake.
Right.
And he denounced Cuomo. He said to Cuomo, you have to resign. That's a snake telling another snake. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So now, where's Adam Tyson? Where's Adam Tyson? He's got to be saying something.
Right.
Right?
I'm sure people are asking him, but I mean, the rest of us deserve to hear something from him because, you know, there are a lot of people rebuking anyone that said anything against Kanye while Adam Tyson was with him because he validated Kanye. And so people were just saying, you know, you're being a Pharisee, back off. So he owes folks that had issues with this some kind of explanation as to what he thinks, or has he even spoken to Kanye? And, you know, look, I rescind, like you say, rescind his support.
Right. There was that other guy, that former New Ager, who did a show who was talking about, you know, let's give Kanye a chance. No. First of all, Kanye, from the get-go, needed to sit down and not do anything about Jesus or for Jesus until he was properly discipled and grew in the faith. This thing about you getting saved last week and now you're in the pulpit this week, that's just nuts. That violates scripture. All these guys gave Kanye a pass. And where are all these guys now?
I haven't seen anything come out.
Crickets. That's, you know, and yeah. So it's a shame. It's a shame. It really is. It really is. Now, last week at the Bible school, I did a class on what are we, the ministers of Christ, up against. And the answer to that question was we're up against the prophesied or the foretold perilous end times. Mm-hmm. And while I was doing the class, we came upon the 2-hour study, we came across the fact that it's the perilous times because one. There's going to be teachers who promote the doctrines of demons. There's going to be Satan-sent people who are going to promote what these demons want them to promote. And it's not basically, they're not teaching doctrines of demons on demons. They're teaching doctrines of demons that attack each key important tenet of the faith. One of those tenets being the doctrine of scripture, the doctrine of Christ, right? And so I made mention in the class, I referred to you guys without name, I referred to you and Sister Marie without naming you, that we were doing some shows that were showing how we are in these perilous times because, for example, in your series, what are they undermining? What is a guy like Dallas Jenkins undermining? He's undermining Christ.
Right, the person and deity of Christ.
That's it. That's it. And while I was doing the teaching, I said, wow, this is what we've been, you know, this is what we've been covering. And it's no, listen, Dallas Jenkins is not doing a whole Bible series where in 1 week he's talking about Jonah and the next week he's talking about Esther and the next week he's... No, all of this is about Jesus, but what is he doing to Jesus? He's undermining biblical Jesus. He's just completely watering him down, making Jesus a clown in the last episode we were watching when Jesus was with the kids and was making
right.
sounds that my grandfather would make, you know.
Right.
And my grandfather would think it was funny, and my grandmother would be rebuking him, you know, into his bedroom, and don't
yeah.
do that in front of these kids. These kids are supposed
yeah.
to have some class, you classless old man. That's the way my grandma, you know, you classless old man. And no, this is the complete undermining of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Right.
You know?
Changing him into a corruptible man.
Right. And then taking the Word of God, which is Holy Ghost inspired, and omitting the Word of God, and then you spinning your own yarn, your own version, your own fables, your own myths about people in the Bible of whom the Bible says nothing, doesn't even come close to any other than you have the names right, but you don't have the people right.
Right. This is basically a fictionalized account based on characters in the Bible. That's as close as you could come to it. This being close to biblical, the names and locations of certain people is all he got right. The rest is pure fiction. But
right.
we would be probably shocked to know how many people think that this is a good depiction of Jesus and the apostles.
Right. This is just terrible. And you know, looking at today, looking at the amount of people that are coming forward to do Bible series, to do Bible teachings, to do Bible movies. Mm-hmm. That first series by that lady who was in Touched by an Angel, I can't remember her name.
Oh, Roma Downey.
Roma Downey, right? Who's a closet Catholic.
Yes.
And you know that show, Touched by an Angel. That's another wacky show. You know,
yes,
no basis in scripture. You know, it's a feel-good show, but again, it distorts the Bible. It distorts who God
mm-hmm.
is. It distorts who angels are and what is the ministry of angels. It's just a
the
complete
distortion.
The same
with that show that used to come on with Michael Landon, you know, the little Joe from the Cartwrights.
Right,
was it? Highway to Heaven?
Highway to Heaven.
Where he was an angel.
Another,
yeah.
Yeah, another garbage show. Another one. Just, you know, Touched by an Angel had Della Reese in it, right? Correct me if I'm
yes.
wrong. Yeah. So,
yes.
These people always want to do these new age spiritual versions of God, Jesus, angels, and the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that Dallas Jenkins is partnering with Mormons, liberal
yeah.
Catholics and liberal Jews to put this thing together, and a so-called evangelical that his pinky isn't even evangelical.
right.
You know, please.
Evangelical is just a meaningless title now, it seems.
That's what it is. It means nothing. So, doing the class, I was saying, wow, they are coming against the major tenets of the faith, and now they're doing it in such a clever and popular way that, they have their little cartoon intros, they have their, you know, they I can tell you, Dallas Jenkins is a good storyteller. Good.
Yes, he is. Yeah.
Right? I mean, he is talented.
He's much more entertaining than the other one, but just the
right.
entertainment part of it. But what Jesus is he promoting in this series? And as Brother Chris Roseborough pointed out, it seems like a Jesus after his own making, more so
right.
than the Jesus of the scriptures.
Correct. When I used to go fishing, and in Miami when I was pastoring in Miami, and I used to have Mondays off. I've never had any days off after pastoring in Miami. But when I was pastoring in Miami and I used to go bass fishing, there was a fish that was used that you would put on the hook, and they were called shiners. They were 10 cents a piece back in 1992. I used to get them 10 cents a piece. And you used to get a bucket full of shiners, and they were silver color. And you put them on the hook, and of course, you didn't want to kill the shiners. You wanted to put the hook through their gill and their mouth. And this way, when they go into the water, you know, they're stuck on the hook.
They're still moving.
But they're still moving, and then because the bass lives in murky waters. So as some of the sunlight comes in, meets the silver fish, silver-colored fish in the water, and the fish is wiggling, it's like coming get me type of thing to the bass, and that's what Dallas Jenkins' show is. It's a shiny shiner. You know,
right.
Come and see, come and watch.
And it's very effective because this show is pretty popular with people. And I find it interesting that he now refers to the fans of his show as the Chosen Army.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty soon he's going to have T-shirts and mugs and caps.
Well, he's already got merchandise for sure.
Wristbands.
About everything is merch nowadays. So he's got hoodies and T-shirts and all the Jesus junk that you're describing, plus his the Bible studies.
Right. He's probably going to have those noise-making bags made. The ones that you blow air into and then you sit down and they make the funny sound. You'll probably start merchandising those.
Chosen logo on the part that you sit down.
Exactly. If he's like Jim Baker will produce and sell anything he can.
Yes. Yeah, well, there's a lot. He's got a merchandise arm of this that he's always talking about. We've been skipping over it in these videos, but during those parts where he's talking about his merchandise and he's wearing the hoodies and stuff too. So there's that too. Jesus is the product. At least his Jesus is.
Right. Absolutely. All righty, so we're set to go. I can't wait to get into this because, again, I was just taken aback when I saw my Jesus on film doing sounds like my grandfather and sounds for which my grandmother rebuked him and told him to go into his room. He was on timeout while we kids were giggling, right?
Right.
That's nasty.
Go to your room.
Exactly, old man. You're supposed to be teaching these kids godliness, and look what you're doing.
Right.
Yep. So where would you want me to start this today?
Well, we're on the episode 3 from the first season, and this was called Jesus Loves the Children, and it's basically showing Jesus interacting with kids, and we stopped it at the 25-minute mark last week.
Okay, so I'm going to bring it back to 24.
Ready.
Can I bring it back to 24 just to get a little
Sure.
We're starting at 24. Here we go.
Sometimes, but I'm a craftsman. I build all kinds of things.
So why don't you live in the house?
I travel a lot.
How do you make money?
Daddy,
just asking him how he makes money.
I know, you shouldn't.
It's okay. I don't make money when I travel. So for now, I build things and trade them for my food and clothing.
What is that?
Ah, this is going to be a lock and key.
Joshua, ask him questions. He's nice.
No, thank you.
What else will you build?
Wealthy people love decorations and toys for their children.
My family isn't wealthy.
So this version of Jesus, he's kind of like one of Santa's elves. And he makes toys. I mean,
we know that Jesus, as a carpenter, that meant he worked with his hands and he built things and stuff, but they might be going a little far with it. What do you think?
Well, when Jesus entered into the ministry, he was in the ministry. There's no carpentry. That, he's not trading. Jesus taught us that if we needed anything, we had to pray to whom? Our Heavenly Father.
Our Father, right. I'm always getting not sure but of the timeline with this, but I'm thinking that this is supposed to be a time before he was actually in ministry. He was kind of doing stuff, but it looks more like he was just chilling, even though the Bible doesn't say he did that. I mean, after he was baptized, he went into the wilderness, and after that, he was immediately preaching and baptizing.
That's
and calling his disciples, but this shows him just, hanging out, and I think he helped Mary Magdalene during this time and, not really doing much else. Like, the Lord, and that's one thing I wrote down with this, the Lord knew he had what his timeline was going to be. He knew he had a certain amount of time to do his ministry before he would go to the cross. So it seems like he wouldn't be just here lollygagging and wasting time. I mean, even though it's cute seeing him interacting with kids, but, I mean, he interacted with children anyway just through his ministry because there were families that would sit and listen and there would be children there. So it really wasn't necessary for Dallas to do it this way to show how Jesus interacts with and loves children. But he could have done that just in the context of going along with Scripture. There's verses in there that talk about Jesus and kids. And he even healed a few of them and raised a couple from the dead, right?
Right, yeah. See, here's the thing. Jesus, when he was 12 and he was asked by Joseph and Mary, what are you doing here in the temple? He says, well, I'm about my Father's business.
Right.
Jesus didn't come to join Satan's Santa's vocational toy-making program.
Right.
He's about the Father's business. You see, again, this goes to the heart of the gospel. Jesus came to redeem man. Why would he spend time making toys or making locks? Once he enters into ministry.
And taking them and bartering them for money.
That's nonsense. Pure Kool-Aid. This is Kool-Aid. This is just, and again, what does it do? It attacks the Bible. It attacks Christ.
Right. And the children, remember we saw the video, the clip last week of children reacting to this show? And most of them said something like they didn't think Jesus cared about kids and that he was just for adults.
Well,
so
like
Dallas
said,
wanted to think is making people think doing this to show how Jesus loved kids, but you could do that just from the scriptures.
Absolutely. I mean, like you said, why don't you show Jesus raising Jairus' daughter from the dead, who was only 12 years old? Why don't you show Jesus delivering the little boy who was a demoniac, right? Show that.
Uh-huh.
Why don't you show Jesus interacting the boy who brought the loaves and the fishes? Why don't you show that? Like you said,
show how he hugged them and and hugged them and loved on them and blessed them.
Sure.
He rebuked the disciples for trying to send them away.
Right. Show that. Show, you know, that's one of the few times, that's one of the few times that we really see Jesus hot under the collar. And when you read the text,
right,
when the disciples were telling the kids to beat it, the master has no time for you.
He was displeased.
Jesus got hot under the collar. I mean, he got mad.
Yes.
Why don't you show that? But no. 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 Mm-mm. Nonsense. Okay.
Many times it's better.
I don't know about that.
You will.
My mom made me this.
Oh, what's her name?
Sarah.
Very pretty.
Okay, time to go home. Bye.
So basically, what the scene now, because it's just, you know, you just, it's Jesus lying down next to a campfire, and he's working on the lock and making sure the lock works. Whenever I saw my Savior alone, he was praying.
Right. Well, I think he does a little of that too, but he does. They just show little scenes. And especially when there's no dialogue, where he's doing a variety of things, some of which he was praying, but most times not.
Yeah. Again, Jesus is God incarnate, and his main agenda, he came to do the Father's business.
Right.
And think about it. Jesus was even healing on the Sabbath, which tells us what? That Jesus did not have, you know, because when Jesus became incarnate and came down to earth, he's dealing with time and space like we do, right?
Yeah.
Having taken on the form of a servant, as Paul says in Philippians 2. So he doesn't have enough time. He's even healing on the day of rest. He's not making locks. He's not making toys. He's completely about the Father's business. He was consumed. You know, there's a messianic psalm that applies to Jesus where he says, the zeal of my Father's house has consumed me. Right, he's completely consumed.
They reference that when he cleaned out the temple.
Right, so again, this is nonsensical. Well, we want to make Jesus more human. Well, that's what we read from Herbert Locke.
The show that he relates to kids.
Right. And let me just pull out that quote again, Let me see if I can find. Here it is again. Let me just read this.
Okay.
Let's see if I can find it. I have it marked somewhere. Well, let's keep playing it, and I don't want to take up time while it's playing. I'll find it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings sleep to my eyes, slumber to my eyes.
Just leave him alone.
Now, in this version of Jesus, where it's noontime and Jesus is sleeping, this is hobo Jesus. That's what this is.
Right.
Now, again, why would the Son of Man be sleeping? Right? I mean,
well,
when you read the Gospel,
he's human, so of course he probably slept, right?
Right, but the thing is, when you read the Gospels, it says, and Jesus, a great while before day, went into a solitary place and prayed.
Before light,
right,
and before
right.
anybody else got up.
Right. This is siesta Jesus. This is, you know, it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon and he's taking a siesta, right? He's just got to sleep.
Right.
This is Mexican
right.
Jesus.
Is high up in this scene. It's pretty light outside.
way up there. My grandmother would call this, you know, if me or any of my brothers or sisters or any, would be sleeping at 12 o'clock, she would say, oh, I didn't know I had some bum grandchildren. Bum, meaning you didn't wake up with the chickens.
Right.
You didn't
right.
wake up with the chickens. You are a bum. This is laughable. Okay.
Couldn't have waited half an hour, eh?
Can we be around today?
Jesus is saying, you couldn't wake me up at 2:30? You had to wake me up at 2?
Right. Exactly. So he's wanting more sleep.
He's wanting more. This is hobo Jesus. Let me sleep an extra half hour and come back. Wow. And I got the quote here. This is Herbert Locklear in his book on, it says, by modernism, Satan has succeeded in robbing the church of her power in the world. With a humanized Christ, a mutilated Bible, a glorified self, modernism is bankrupt. Nothing can damn evangelism like modernism, and Satan knows that. Hence, his untiring efforts to create an ever-increasing army of false teachers.
Mm.
See, this is the modern movement in the church, to humanize Jesus, to make Jesus cool.
More relatable to people. The people
right.
want to identify with him and other people in the Bible, because we, in some of these clips we've looked at people's reactions, they've said things like this: I can relate because it's something I went through. And remember when Dallas said Jesus, the real Jesus isn't a good protagonist because he doesn't have a character arc where he starts one place and grows and becomes, you know, Jesus is sinless, so he didn't wallow in the mud like us. So he
right.
doesn't make for a good story.
This is an abomination. This thing is an abomination. Wow. This is sad. This is sad.
And these are my other friends, and Joshua again.
Shalom, Abigail's friends, and Joshua again.
Shalom. Can we be around today?
I suppose, but I have some work to do. You might have to help. Good.
How much longer are you going to stay here?
until it is time for me to go.
What's that?
Well, I have some work to do here and some people to meet. And then I will know the right time.
You seem nice. Are you dangerous?
Maybe to some. But no, not to you. And I won't harm anyone.
Do you have friends?
A few, and more to come.
Abby says you travel a lot. Do you have a house?
My father provides everything I need.
Is your father rich?
Did Abigail tell you to ask me that?
No.
That is a question for another time.
What's your favorite food?
Oh, Joshua the Brave speaks. I like so many different foods, but I especially love bread for many reasons. How are those spoons coming along, Earth? Good? String, is it tight?
Yep.
Almost? Okay. So tell me.
Jesus now is running a sweatshop. Child labor.
He put them to work. They had no business coming and waking him up.
That's right. And look, with all that work, why are you waking up at 2:30 in the afternoon?
Well, I guess because he knew the kids would show up, so.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Listen, I get up in the morning and forget about counting on my kids. Who's got garbage? Who's got laundry? Who's got dishes? Who's got, and they all get amnesia until Friday comes along when it's time to dish out the allowances. Then, they're knocking on the door even before I get up. Where's the cash? This Jesus, you know, has got these poor kids working. This is deplorable. This is a deplorable. It shows Jesus with no work ethic. Jesus not concerned with the clock. Right? Time?
Jesus just hanging out. Lollygagging. Basically aimless at right now because... I mean, I am assuming he was baptized and all that. The temptation has already happened, but
right.
You really don't know from this what he's doing.
Right. And here's the thing. Like you said, he's aimless. And if Paul says redeem the time, I said, well, I don't have to. I don't have to redeem the time. I just saw Jesus getting up at 2 in the afternoon, and he asked for an extra half hour. Redeem
right.
the time.
If you think that Jenkins Jesus is the real Jesus, you're in trouble.
Right. Can you imagine teenagers who don't want to leave the house watch this show and they think it's okay to get up at 2:30 in the afternoon when mom and dad
right.
are already at work and have put in a good 5-6 hours into work and they're getting up
mm-hmm.
at 2:30 to brush their teeth and put a pizza in the oven? Can you and then
right.
and then they have their
and
friends
what
come
can
over?
The parents say? What can the
right.
parents say when they're saying, "Well, Jesus did it on the
right.
chosen"?
Exactly. No, this is again deplorable.
Do you all know how to pray the Shema?
Yes.
Oh, I would love to hear it. You lead us.
Hear Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might. And it shall come to pass, if you surely listen to the commandments that I command you today, that you may gather in your grain, your wine, and your oil.
You
very good.
So, why don't you have a home?
My home is many places.
Why?
Because I have a much larger job than just being a craftsman or a teacher.
You're a teacher, too?
I will be soon.
What other job?
Everyone has a much larger job than just their trade. And you are more than just students. You are at school to show love to one another. And to take God's word and to share it. And at home, to honor your father and mother. And most important, from the law of Moses, to love who?
The Lord, your God, with all your heart.
Very good, Joshua the Brave. So, I will be doing my work in many places.
Or
maybe he's stronger than some.
Maybe he's going to be a new teacher at synagogue school.
I think he's maybe a new prophet. And he'll show us the word of God.
No, there's no new prophet. Rabbi Josiah said so.
But maybe he's a murderer.
He is not. But maybe that's why he's by himself. He's running and hiding.
Yeah, and probably he's pretending to be a Buddha, so no one will know.
That's not true. He's building stuff with us. We're watching him do it.
Yeah, he's smart. So we should listen.
But maybe we're even helping him build weapons and we don't even know it.
No, he's a good man.
I think so, too. I like him. I'm just saying, maybe he's a criminal.
But no matter what, we all agree, we don't tell anyone about him, right? See you here tomorrow.
Shalom.
So what say you about this first part of this episode here, Jesus and the kids? What say you?
Well, like we've been saying, for one thing, I think the episode was probably unnecessary, but Dallas was trying to use it as a way to really introduce Jesus because he didn't want to do it the way it's been done traditionally in the scriptures and also other film adaptations that we've seen that pretty much follow along with that.
Right.
And also with the children, I'm noticing the little girl is pretty much the ringleader on all this, you know, so I don't know if that's another little sprinkle of feminism to let the little girl be the ringleader and ordering all the boys around and stuff. So, I just... this bum Jesus, I don't really like the way he's depicted here. It's cute, I guess, but not accurate. Say you, brother?
Yeah, again, it's not based on the Bible. Dallas Jenkins has taken complete liberties to rewrite the story, and this is why in the first century many gospels appeared. Many, many numerous gospels appeared and were never included in the canon because they took this kind of approach. For example, there's a complete gospel that tries to give us an account as to Jesus's childhood. And all the things he did. This gospel just focuses on his childhood, and to fill in the gaps, to fill in the holes. Whereas the other four gospels don't find that necessary because it picks it up where Jesus starts ministry.
Right.
I mean, that's
about his birth, and then moves on from there.
Right. So it gives us a sprinkling of, you know, how he was when he was 12 years old. And then from there, it jumps right into, you know, his temptation, his baptism, and the inauguration of his ministry. And from then on, that's where all of the, you know, the data comes in. And so all those gospels that tell us what Jesus did before, what he did during his death, like go down to hell and start fighting with the devil and saying to Isaiah, come over here, join me, and saying to Obadiah, come on, I'm going to take you out of here. All those gospels were rejected because they were built on fancy, imagination.
Right.
And so this too is to be rejected for that same reason.
Right.
Human imagination.
Right. What do you think when Jink and Jesus here made the comment to the children about his job is much bigger than just being a carpenter, or, you know, he will be a teacher someday, you know, eventually. What do you think of that kind of language?
Well, again, I don't think Jesus would be vague. We don't have the exact words that Jesus said to the children.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have any account of that. But in all of his other accounts in dealing with, I mean, he wasn't vague with Nicodemus. He wasn't vague with Pontius. Now, he was to the point. He wasn't wordy, but he wasn't vague.
He wasn't vague with the woman at the well.
Correct. So he was to the point, because a lot of people, you know, when you listen to preachers today, this guy's been preaching for an hour and you still don't know what he said. You know, he's going in circles. Jesus, you know, spoke, you know, few words, but you understood what he was saying.
Right.
And here he's just, to me, he's evasive here. To me, it's like the little girl said, is he a criminal? Why doesn't he answer our questions? You know, evasive people do that. People on the run do that.
Right.
It can make
them look shady that the little boy, they spend all that time with them, but they're still wondering what's going on with this guy.
Right. Yeah, so, no, this is, this again, you know, and I know people are going to say we're nitpicking. If Dallas was listening to our review, he would be heartbroken because he's so in love with his, you know,
he
Jesus.
He would probably try to answer us somehow because he's done that a few times I've seen where he's made videos to address certain criticisms, and we may look at a few of those, you know, going on. But, yeah, he's very protective of his work.
Well, if we were to grade it, it's rubbish, complete rubbish. And that's
right.
It. You know, he may not like it, but too bad, because it's complete rubbish. He is creating out of thin air a portrayal of Jesus. And we're talking about regal Jesus, manly Jesus, right? Acting like a buffoon and a clown. No, this is rubbish. Not worth, you know, no pastor should be presenting this to his congregation. No father should be presenting this to his family. No. You're banned from watching this. Banned. This is, you know, this is just an attack on Christology. That's
right.
What it is.
Well, I want to read Romans real quick. I was looking at Romans 1 because we've been talking about this verse, Romans 1, and I'll just go to the 22 and 23. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. And then it goes into God giving them up to uncleanness. So that's what this is. They changed the glory, the majesty of Jesus, and made him into this corruptible man, not the incorruptible God man that he was, but a man just like us. That's
right.
What this seems to be.
Correct. Correct. Now, the pagans did it to God the Father, and here Dallas Jenkins is doing this to Christ the Son. That's all. That's the, you know, that's all. But it's the same thing. It's a marring. It's a you know, your a complete distortion of who God is.
Right.
Who God is. All right. He shows Jesus taking them on a fishing trip. I thought I was going to start to hear the music of the Andy Griffith Show. right? That's one scene.
Right.
You know, I really did. I said, all we need now is the intro to the Andy Griffith Show.
All you need is Opie.
That's it. That's it. So we had that. Then Jesus, of course, had made some stuff, and he was taking them to market. He had a little wheelbarrow,
right.
Wooden wheelbarrow that he was taking some stuff to market. And
right.
Now Jesus is doing calisthenics. Jesus is stretching out, you know, like when you this is amazing, amazing.
Yeah. Did you see the part where he appeared to be bandaging some kind of wound or something?
Yes.
And I mean, I made note of that, and I'm probably nitpicking again, but it's about the blood and how important the shedding of his blood is at the appropriate time. So the Bible doesn't say that he did, but I don't think he dealt with that type of stuff like we normally do, or what do you think about this? Because we've seen it in this one, and there was one time in the other series we looked at where Jesus was wounded and had scratches and all this stuff. That
right.
time he was running from Malchus or something
right.
like that. So what do you think about it when it comes to Jesus's blood?
Like you said, the blood is a very premium theme in the Gospels of Christ, right? I mean, think about it. The Bible
right.
talks about him shedding the blood on the cross.
Right.
Obviously, when he is being beaten, when the Romans are flogging him, and, okay, we know that that's where his passion begins. But to show him, you know, with a cut from carpentry and him putting a Band-Aid around it and, you know, again, unnecessary. Why? Because
right.
there's only one focal point where the blood, in fact, even John the Baptist, right, said when he referred to Jesus, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." Notice John did not mention blood. He just said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away," and of course we know that it's through the blood. But notice how John focused on him being the Lamb, on him being the one who removes and cancels sin, but made no mention
right.
of the blood. See?
Right.
And that's critical. This is why I have problems with Christians who say, like for example, T.D. Jakes, when Eddie Long went before the church and, you know, said he was going to fight the four lawsuits. That Sunday morning, in response, T.D. Jakes, there's a video clip out there of how T.D. Jakes responds, and T.D. Jakes goes before his church and says, you've probably been living under a rock if you haven't heard what's happened. It's all over the newspapers, you know, all over that Eddie Long is having some problems. And then T.D. Jakes says, what we need right now is the blood. Somebody get me the bucket with the blood, and I'm going to take some of the blood. I'm going to sprinkle it on you. And first of all, you buffoon, nobody has the blood of Jesus.
Right.
You're a clown. You're a clown to be saying that, go get the bucket of blood, and I'm going to sprinkle you with some, and I'm going to sprinkle some on myself. No.
Mm-hmm.
That's not how it works. That's not how it works. The book of Hebrews says he shed his blood once and for all.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. This thing about you and I having access and we plead the blood. The blood of Jesus is against you, devil. The blood of... Stop it. Stop it. Please. And that's what these people do. They take the blood of Jesus and they make it a common thing. It's not something, and this is why...
It had a certain purpose.
Right, and even at the Lord's Supper, it says, and some of you are sick, and some of you are weak, and some of you are already dead because you did not know how to discern the body and blood of our Lord. You don't play with the blood. It's not something you play with.
Right.
Right? It's not something you take lightly. And this is why Paul says that every man, let every woman examine themselves so they don't drink of the blood, they don't drink of the cup and eat of the bread unworthily, not discerning the Lord's body. You don't mess with that stuff.
Right.
You don't play with the blood. It's something, tread lightly when it comes to the blood.
Why is it so important to show that maybe Jesus stubbed his toe or cut himself or whatever it was that it happened? But his blood, like you keep saying, his humanity was different than ours.
Right. Right. And think about it. This is why in the other Joel Osteen series that we saw, where they are stoning Jesus and he's got all these cuts, which means they caused Jesus to bleed prematurely.
Exactly.
You see, you can't mess with that. Listen, the Bible says that at the appointed time, God handed his son over, and Jesus said, this is the hour of the power of darkness. Now shall I be betrayed into the hands of wicked men. This is the moment, not before.
Right.
So this spilling, and look, if Jesus spilled some blood before or he cut himself with a tool or whatever, it's not recorded in the Bible. It's not a focal point.
Right.
We should not be zeroing in on that.
Dallas likes to do that because it's plausible that Jesus may have had mishaps and accidents where he was wounded, because we all have those, right?
Right, right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, of course, him being God, no. Right? I mean, the likelihood is no.
As you said, his blood served a certain purpose to be shed on the cross at the appointed time.
Correct. Correct. And that's why I like the Mel Gibson movie so much, because if you remember when Jesus dies on the cross, right, and he sheds his blood, and it's so cloudy, so overcast, Then you see this one drop coming down out of heaven, which, again, insinuating the Father's tear, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what happened at that moment when Jesus shed his blood? What happened? Satan is screaming in the Mel Gibson movie. Why? Because it's all over. It's all over at that point. Not when he cut himself with a carpenter's tool, as this guy suggests, or, like you said, stubbed his toe or whatever. No, not at that point. But at the blood of the cross, the cross, an instrument of suffering, the nails, the nail prints, mm-hmm. right? Notice the emphasis, Jesus, and look at my nail prints.
Right.
Again, he's doing this to humanize Jesus, as Herbert Locklear was saying, to make him more like us. But
right.
they go too far. See, they go too far now where Jesus is not now the Son of God.
Right.
And if he were the Son of God in Dallas Jenkins' mind, the whole show would be about Jesus and not about these stupid encounters that he keeps showing us.
Right.
That's it. This guy hates, like Satan hates, when Jesus healed. When Jesus, and Dallas Jenkins has that same affinity.
And Satan hates that he shed his blood for our redemption. Satan hates that.
Correct. Which is the emphasis of Scripture. Right?
Right.
That's it. Mm-hmm. So, all right, let's get a little bit more in here. I'm watching the video, and there's a sunrise and there's a sunset. Jesus is with these kids during the day. Then he's by himself at night. Another sunrise, another.
Right.
So, first of all, Jesus,
at least a
according
couple
to
of
this
days.
Guy, right. He spent a couple of days. And these are his first disciples, which Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John got wrong.
Right. It's like, and I think Dallas may have said this somewhere, where it's like Jesus is practicing what he's going to eventually do later on with these children. That these are his practicum.
Guineas. Yeah,
like
yeah,
he's
yeah,
in
yeah.
school.
Yeah. Can you imagine that? You know, in the beginning was the Logos, the Word.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine me telling Jesus, you need to practice on delivering? Can you imagine how stupid, how asinine that sounds for us to tell Jesus, you need to pray? You're the Word. You're the Word.
Right.
And you need to practice?
Yes. So that's kind of what this is. He's practicing for his ministry later on.
Crazy. Yeah, that's how D.L. Moody started. D.L. Moody wanted to have a Sunday school class, and there was no room at the church, so they told him, there's a tree over there. Gather whatever kids you can and start with them and use them as your guinea pigs and, you know, see if you can create a class underneath that tree over there. But Jesus is not D.L. Moody.
Right. He doesn't need to practice.
Wow.
Behold how good and how pleasing. If brothers could sit together in unity. Behold how good and how pleasing.
Behold.
So what did you do?
I tried to walk away, but he wouldn't stop pushing me. So I pushed him so hard he fell down.
And that's why you were punished. Did you expect something different?
But even Torah says eye for eye. Why should I be punished too?
Yes, but that is for a judge. You are hardly in a court of law. And you, all of you, are to be special. You are to act differently than others.
You tell us to be gentle, but Rabbi Josiah said Messiah would lead us against the Romans, that he would be a great military leader.
It is important to respect your teachers and honor your parents. And Rabbi Josiah is a smart man. But many times, smart men lack wisdom. Is there anything in Scripture that says Messiah will be a great military leader? There are many things about Scripture that you cannot understand yet, and that is okay, that is fine. You have many years ahead of you, and God does not reveal all things at once, but children. What if many of the things that our people think about how we are to behave and how we are to treat one another are wrong? You want things to be fair. When someone wrongs you, you want to right it. And you know who else loves justice? But what does the Lord say in the law of Moses about justice and vengeance?
Vengeance is mine.
Yes, very good. Very good. Boys, pay attention. She doesn't even go to Torah class, huh? The Lord loves justice. But maybe it is not ours to handle. Do you remember when David had the chance to kill King Saul, who was evil to him? Didn't. Saul was God's anointed. And it was not the right time for justice. And God says he will have compassion on his people when... What? Let's see if someone who studies at school is learning, huh?
When their strength is gone?
Yes. Very good. So, maybe we let God provide the justice. Maybe we handle these things in a different way, not trying to be the strongest all the time.
Even Messiah?
You will have to see. But do not expect Messiah to arrive in Jerusalem on a tall horse carrying weapons. And he will be most pleased with those of you who are the peacemakers.
Where were you yesterday?
I had to stay in town later on. There was a woman who needed my help.
Did you build something for her?
No. You remember when I said that I have a job that is bigger than my trade? There is a woman who has had much pain in her life. And she was in trouble. So I helped her.
Is she your friend?
She is now. And I have chosen her and others and more soon to join me in traveling.
Do they know you?
Not yet.
But what if they don't like you?
Many won't. This is my reason for being here.
I still don't understand. What is your reason for being here?
I'm telling you this because even though you are children and the elders in your life have lived longer, many times, adults need the faith of children. And if you hold on to this faith really tightly, someday soon, you will understand all of what I am saying to you. But you ask an important question, Abigail. What is my reason for being here? And the answer is for all of you. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim
proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.
Isaiah,
I have loved spending this time with you. You are all so very special. And I hope that my next students ask the same questions you do and that they listen to my answers. But I suspect they do not have the understanding you do. And I hope that when the time comes, they will tell others about me, like you have.
Sister AJ, we'll stop it there because we've watched a lot. What say you to this portion here?
Well, it, like we were saying earlier, it looks like he's practicing what he's going to say to eventually in his ministry, because that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He did that in Nazareth at the synagogue. But in this, he's allegedly somewhere around Capernaum.
And
so, I mean,
said,
is it? Go ahead, sir.
No, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but as you so correctly stated, when he said that, he said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled."
That's
right.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And again, he didn't answer the children's questions when they asked him, "Why are you here?"
Right.
Unless that quote was supposed to be the answer, but it really isn't very clear.
Right. The whether that's the answer Jesus is providing to isn't clear, and plus that wouldn't be a good answer for them because their little minds can't handle that text.
Right. We don't know if the boys have been taught that in Torah school yet.
Right.
Or, you know, if they've been taught the prophetic books or anything.
Yep. So this is, again, he's spending days with these kids. Where are the parents?
Yeah.
I'm sure these kids are going home each and every day. The mama's got to, you know, mama's got to be saying, "Where do you go all day?
Where were you? Yeah.
Yeah.
What were you doing?"
Right.
And that's why I was wondering about children during that time. Didn't they have chores or things that they had to do at home or something? I mean, they seem to have a lot of leisure time.
When I was a kid, you prayed for school. Right? You why? Because if not, you would. That's it. Okay, come on with daddy. You're gonna go. We're gonna go chop wood.
Right. And some
right?
of these
or,
boys, especially, they're preteen, probably. Most
sure.
of these kids.
Everybody has chores. We don't. It's not like today, the snowflake generation, where you can't give them one chore. I'm tired. I'll do it later. Give me another half hour. They sound like this Jesus, right? No.
Right.
Mm-mm. No, that's it. No, when I was a kid, you prayed for school. Summer vacation was no vacation.
Not at all.
Working on the farm, getting those fences fixed, those three barbed wire fences for the cattle. And my father had acres and acres of barbed wire fence we had to put up and put in brand new poles in the ground. You had to chop the poles. You had to carry the poles. You had to sharpen the poles so that when you stuck them in the ground, they stood. Then you carrying that barbed wire. You're slicing yourself up with that stuff, nailing them in. Okay, let's go to the next half acre. Let's do the same thing all over again. So
right.
There were people chopping wood, the stakes. There were people carrying the stakes. There were people nailing the barbed wire. No, it was no joke. We pray for school. You mean to tell me when you had summer, you pray for school? That's right. We were praying for school to start back open.
These boys in this video here look to be old enough to be doing a lot of the stuff you're talking about with their fathers.
For Jesus. They're working for Jesus. Isn't he using them?
Yes.
Doesn't he
yes,
have them
he
doing
is.
Things? Jesus is running a sweatshop. He's running a sweatshop. Child labor. And he's got them singing. He's got them working. You know, like they do when they had those chain gang. You singing and breaking stones. That's what Jesus got them doing. The next time I have a project with my kids, I'm gonna start singing. See if that alleviates some of their agony. If I can get them to start singing.
I don't think it'll work, bro.
Well, I'm gonna try. I'm gonna try. Here's more.
Abigail, I know you can read. You are very special. This is for you. I did not come only for the wealthy.
Okay, so Jesus leaves her his version of a dollhouse or a doll stable with some horses,
yeah.
A ladder, a little carved out little.
A gift.
Yeah. And to that, on that day she came by herself because the other kids would have been disappointed to see that Santa's helper, Santa's elf, only left something for Abigail, and they didn't get anything.
I guess so.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, how's she going to explain the dollhouse to her parents?
Yeah, sure. Where did this come from? Who gave you this? Wow, amazing. Would you mind it? I see that Mr. Dallas Jenkins has appeared. Is he commenting on this episode? Can we listen to that?
He says a few things, so yeah, we can listen to it.
Yeah, because I'm interested to see what he has to say about this you know, this hobo Jesus. Let's see.
Oh, I love how it ends, you know, with the gift that he leaves Abigail. And I remember that night of filming. It was raining. Not night, day. It was raining, and we were waiting for it to stop raining, and it didn't look like it was going to stop, so we didn't know what we were going to do. And finally, we just realized, let's just have it rain. I mean, it's just such, I think it adds a sweet part of, I think it makes that scene even more meaningful in some way. I don't know, but I love that it was raining at the end. So, anyway, episode three. I hope you enjoyed that. Now, here's something I want to share with you right before we get into episode four, which is it's my favorite episode of the first four. And I think it remains my favorite episode of the show. Maybe my second, but episode four is coming in just a second. But first of all, look at this. Jesus Loves Little Children, A Chosen Story. We have a kid's book. This kid's book is based on episode three, okay? So you've got...
Wow. Amazing.
He's peddling his little children's book. Boy.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
But this is the episode that he wrote on his own without the other co-writers, too.
Mm-hmm. And so that's why, that's why he's writing a book on this episode, because now he gets to keep all that money. He doesn't have to share it with the other writers.
You think so?
Absolutely. That's his episode. Now, he doesn't have to share the copyrights with the royalties. Doesn't have to share them. It's his episode.
That's true.
Yeah. Absolutely. So he's got the pullover, he's got the book. Oh, he loves this episode, and he loves what he left Abigail.
Right.
Wow.
It's his favorite episode of the show, of the season. I wonder why. That's the one he didn't have any co-writers for one thing.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. All right, let's start the fourth episode.
Right. Well, if you want to move ahead of the and just start the show, it starts at 44:38, and this one is called The Rock on Which It Is Built. So that kind of gives you a hint that this one's going to be mostly about Peter.
Okay, let's listen.
Slow down.
What is it?
It's a fishing bobber.
So?
That means we're close.
Good job.
Hard to port! This way!
Oh, man.
Dunbar. Why are you not listening to me? I told you to go this way.
Happened, boys. Nothing to be ashamed of.
There was no accident. You know the sea better than anyone. That's why you smell of it. I want you to remember this, Simon, son of Jonah. This is kindness. Quintus, on the other hand, is capable of savage violence against those who betray him. If I could hold him off for a week, perhaps. Think of Eden.
If you've been walking down the same road,
make good on your promises, dog.
Basically, he's trying to make good on his deal with Quintus, where he's supposed to take out the Roman patrol to find people evading their taxes and fishing on the Sabbath. And, of course, he's leading them in circles, so when they come back to the beach, the leader of the Roman police force cuts his ear. And tells him to make good on his deal. And none of this happened.
Right.
You know.
You know, the ear thing is like, I guess, a foreshadowing for what Peter will do later. But, and also that float that he found, it had a Z on it. So that's supposed to be Zebedee and James and John's fishing net, so I guess they're out breaking the Sabbath as well, even though weren't they disciples? Were they disciples of John the Baptist too?
Right. They were and also like disciples of John the Baptist, yeah.
Okay, and like you said, I mean, it was death penalty to break the Sabbath, so why are these guys just so casual about doing it?
Right. See, breaking the Sabbath is not like breaking curfew or like breaking martial law, right? These people are deeply religious, religious. And this is ingrained in them. You don't break the Sabbath. These guys weren't breaking. All right, so now we're headed towards the bar, the inn, I guess. And we saw some guys there playing dice. So let's see what happens.
Thanks for coming, Zebedee.
Oh, boys did not twist my arm too hard to get me to have a drink. Is that business or pleasure?
And this? No, I ran out of bait. Figured I'd give my ear a try.
Maybe someone didn't like your sense of humor. Why are we here, Simon?
I made a deal with the Romans.
Romans? Simon,
didn't say anything about any deal to us about.
You see the wound? Doesn't look like Simon gave them what they wanted, does it?
Use your brains. Go on.
I owe taxes.
We all do.
A lot. They were set to take the boat, our houses.
Or?
Give up a fleet fishing on Shabbat.
You knew about this? Thank you for your honesty, Simon. If I may return the favor, I'm shocked you didn't show your face here, much less ask me to join you.
I won't argue that. I'm trapped, but it puts me in a valuable position.
Really? Now tell me, what's the value of a dead trader?
I'm not a trader.
You're finished on the dock, Simon.
Leave him. Come on, Baba.
I know their plans, Zebedee. They're coming for you.
They're playing the kid. Sorry. I can't help
you. You fished a Gregeth ashore last night.
Maybe I did. Maybe I didn't. You dock six ships. Pretty soon, everyone in the hammer knows where you were. What they can't tell you is where I'll be next time.
There's only three ships, Zebedee. Most practically in your wake with some soldiers. Many more waiting on shore for you to offload.
How did he make it out of there?
I made sure the boat had an unfortunate accident. Then lost part of my wife's favorite ear.
Thanks, friend. No, don't thank him. He chose to deal with Rome. So what was your play going to be, huh? The shopping around for an ally? Someone to take you on in exchange for turning over his competitors?
No, it's way stupider than that.
I want you to turn over your catch.
What did he say?
Wait, turn it over to who?
To me. Then you stay off the sea on Shabbat. For a while, anyway. I could tell Quintus the problem is solved.
This is pointless. He's right.
It's just one night's work.
40 nights. One for every man that made the sacrifice to be away from his family.
And all 40 went home in the morning because of me.
Yes, Simon, because you couldn't bear it if you ruined us as you ruined yourself. We owe you a great debt for that. I cannot repay you by stealing food from the mouths of my men. I'm sorry.
So, break this down for us here, this scene.
Well, really, it's just Peter having to make good on his deal with the Romans, as he was saying, but it looks like he decided against it. So he's meeting up with James, John, and Zebedee in the bar to discuss a plan to get out of it by just turning over their catch. And that'll settle the deal with Quintus. But I don't see how that would work without the people that caught the fish having to be turned over as well. But, you know, this is Peter, and what Dallas is trying to do here is show him at this moment of desperation where he's just all over the place trying to find a solution to his tax problem and the deal he made with the Romans. So he's kind of a traitor, but not really. And, you know, a Sabbath breaker, and all these guys, even James and John and their father, it depicts them as like crooks that just casually break the Sabbath so they can avoid paying taxes, and you know, it's just crazy. What do you have to say, brother?
Think about it. I mean, if the fishermen are working on the Sabbath, mm-hmm. who else isn't working on the Sabbath? So now you have a whole nation of Sabbath breakers. right?
Right.
Because you just can't say it's only the fishermen who are breaking the Sabbath to beat taxes. Other people have to be hard up for the taxes, too. Other people must be taking desperate measures. Mm-hmm. And we also have to remember that not only the Romans policed this, but the Jewish leaders policed.
The Pharisees.
Right,
mm-hmm.
right. So you would be, you know, you would be in deep hot water.
Well, Dallas is depicting it as if the Jewish leaders are willing to look the other way because they're just trying to feed their families. And I think there was some argument between Dallas and his Jewish consultant about this, where the Jewish consultant was saying that they wouldn't break the Sabbath like this, but there are exceptions in the law where if it's to save a life or something like that, he was saying that then there would be an exception. So that's why Dallas felt comfortable showing them, these guys doing this.
This is not to save a life. This is not to save a life. This is to evade
taxes. Save a life of a say. Well, Dallas said, "Well, Peter is trying to save his family, and so they don't get thrown out of their house and lose everything." So theoretically, you know how we rationalize stuff,
right? Right.
So that's what Dallas is doing with this, that he's trying to save their lives by doing this to keep them from getting kicked out of the house and losing everything. So he's saving a life that way.
Yeah. Well, Dallas better save his life by preaching truth. that's what we should be concerned with, his life.
Yeah, so he's taking
a minutes.
Lot of license.
Oh, my goodness. Thank God the Jewish guy stood up and said, no, they wouldn't do this. Thank God he did that. You know, at least one of the consultants showed some backbone there.
Right.
Here's more. We got a few minutes. I want to see how much we can squeeze in.
Matthew, the tax collector, Pruto.
Fruit here is incredible. Pomegranates, dates, figs, berries, the olives. Everything that grows here is immaculate. Except the people. You're such a miserable lot. You worship one God, and yet you're all divided. You see, people complain we Romans run the world, but I know a dirty secret. You people want to be ruled. You want an excuse to complain. It's part of your nature. Do you understand that, Matthew?
I don't know.
No, you wouldn't. Oh, you're a single-minded machine. These things are beneath you. Where's your escort?
He didn't want to enter. He feels that my lack of social grace
He thinks you'll get him killed.
Yes.
Not today, Matthew, no. Today, I am in need. You heard me right. I am in need of your machine.
My machine?
Your mind, Matthew, keep up. You might have been right about Simon. You don't cross me. Maybe. Probably. Truth is, I don't have many seaworthy troops here. It might have been an accident.
Dominus?
Follow Simon. I want to know where he goes, with whom he meets. Tell me what they're talking about, what he's drinking. Anything.
The latter may prove difficult. In fact, all of what you request, Dominus, may prove difficult.
But you're a resourceful man. Goal-oriented.
I'm not accepted.
Where?
Anywhere. I'm a tax collector.
Viewed with jealousy.
Hated. Everyone hates tax collectors. They're worse than the Romans. You were born Roman. I made a choice.
It's a grown disguise. I don't care. You can write, can't you?
Yes.
Write everything. Every detail.
Is your booth protected?
Yes, Dominus. My dog guards it while I'm away.
Oh, Matthew, you are a priceless treasure. Of course you have a dog.
I saw it with my own eyes. The line stretched from the edge of the Jordan into the acacia groves.
All right, so we'll stop it there at the 56-minute mark. And
okay. That
was Quintus and Matthew having a conversation. Quintus feels that Simon is messing with him, playing games with him, and he wants Matthew to follow and do
right. Some
spying.
He's going to snitch on the snitcher.
Right. And see, the story of Matthew, the tax collector, that part that he can't go anywhere because he's persona non grata, we know that to
mm-hmm.
be a fact.
Right.
But all of this other stuff on Simon and Zebedee and his sons and all of this is just, my goodness, what? This is just horrible. Horrible.
Spinning the yarn. I mean, creative license on steroids, looks like.
Yeah, it's, again, nothing is tethered to the Word of God. The only thing that this guy's working with is the fact that there are Romans, there are Jews, there's a Simon, there's an Andrew, there's a Zebedee,
mm-hmm.
there's a John, there's a James, there's a Matthew, there's a Mary Magdalene, there's a Nicodemus. He's got the names right. He's got the ethnicities right. But
mm-hmm.
everything else is a complete fabrication.
Right.
You know? And this is what preachers do every Sunday. A lot of preachers just take license. They create stuff out of, they just, you know, to entertain the crowd. They just spin a yarn. And people have been drinking the Kool-Aid for decades now. Decades. Decades.
Yes.
So that's why when a guy like Dallas Jenkins comes around and presents this, they're easy pickings.
Right. Nobody bats an eyelash.
Right.
In
They're
fact, they
pickings.
Loved it.
They loved it. They loved it. And he went and he got a cartoonist and he wrote a little book on episode 3. And,
uh-huh.
you know, he's got someone who does the artwork. He did the story and he's printing them and he's selling them and it goes connected to episode 3. Well, if I watch episode 3, what do I need the book for?
Well, that's the children.
Yeah. So, great show as always. I'm just amazed to see the level of apostasy in the church today. The level is just so, the little leaven has already leavened the whole lump. I mean, it's just bad. It's just bad. And if I didn't see this with my own eyes, I wouldn't believe that someone has done this to Jesus and to his gospels. To see it, you have to witness it to really understand the level of wickedness in the hearts of these people. And, you know, they promote it as, you know, on the angel network. Well, that's how Mormonism started, right? With an angel, a messenger,
yeah.
an angel of light. It was an angel of light. And look at this garbage that they're promoting. So great show.
Doctrines of demons.
That's it. So you have, you know, what do you need to say? What, you know, what are your last words on this episode? What?
Well, it's like you said, it's and you've been teaching in the the class, it's Doctrine of Demons, that they're here and they're continually pulling at the fabric of who Jesus is, what the gospel is, what his blood represents. It's just a complete reimagining of the gospel and the person of Jesus Christ himself. And you hear that a lot, reimagine, rethink, re-this or that. And that's what we're seeing with a lot of these shows and with this show in particular. And the episode 3, I think, was completely unnecessary. You could have showed Jesus with children at any other time.
Right, right. And it's just out of place to see a grown man with children and no adults around.
Right.
Even that's a spooky message right there.
Right.
Right? Think about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, great show. You have the last word.
Well, as always, I thank everyone for listening. Know that we love you, and most importantly, the Lord Jesus Christ loves you. Have a great rest of your day and week, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.